Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
All right, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. We've got our friend John Haller back with us and freshly back from Israel. He's got some pretty amazing things to tell about some of his observations when he was there and then what he came home to with the election in New York and what's going on in our own country and even with, you know, the right or the Republicans or MAGA. Just really interesting times we're living in with both parties kind of splintering. But first, I've got to remind you that we are now in our third year of producing Worldview Matters. It's amazing. We're so blessed by your support, your prayers, but praise God. I always tell people I still have to pinch myself and look at this new studio here. But to continue speaking the truth and exposing evil, we depend on not only your prayers, but those who are able to give financially. So we're a 501c3, like a lot of ministries you likely support, but we're running a new campaign. And if you'd like to consider a tax-deductible gift of any amount, but say $200, or a lot of people are doing like a monthly $25 a month, which is great, we have brand new stainless steel tumblers. We'd love to send you one of these. This is the first one out of the box that I got, but it's my tagline on one side, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. Worldview Matters on the other side. Just simply go to worldviewmatters.tv if you're able to give worldviewmatters.tv. Either way, thank you for your prayers. That's most important, and your support. So I ran down this list last week, but we're always, you know, we're getting new supporters coming along or people coming back and giving their financial support. I just want to mention states because I've been mentioning a lot of names this week. It's interesting. The main three states we're getting support from, Wisconsin, of course, because Green Bay, Wisconsin, Michigan, and is it California? Yeah, California. That's interesting. John Haller, Ohio is in there. So you're off the hook. North Carolina, Wyoming, South Dakota, Minnesota, Virginia, Texas, South Carolina, Nevada, Illinois, New Mexico. Did I miss any? And yes, North Carolina, several from Michigan, which is interesting. So I think I got all those. So anyway, friends, thank you so much. We'll be doing this for a few weeks. It's that time of year, as I'm sure you know, a lot of ministries do their end of year, you know, push. And you can get that tax deduction if you need it. So John Haller just got back from Israel, and you can catch up with him at Fellowship Bible Chapel YouTube channel. Brother, thank you so much for your time and what you're able to share today. We appreciate it.
It's good to be with you, David.
Yeah, didn't you just, was it last night or the night before I saw you guys doing a live roundtable? How many of those do you do?
We did that on November 12th with Patrick Wood, Britt Gillette, Scott Townsend, yep, and David Bowen. And we'll do another one on December 10th. So okay, we're trying to do them about every 4 weeks just because We do about 2 to 2.5 hours, and we don't have time to even scratch the surface on everything happening in the technology mark of the beast system space. So it's pretty incredible.
A lot happening and a lot to keep up with. But let's start with your trip. I think you sent me a couple scriptures, one in Zechariah, one in Nehemiah. But talk about wherever you want to start from what your observations were in Israel.
So, you know, I'm what you would call a Christian Zionist, and we'll talk a little bit later about, I think, some of the bad theology that's leading to a lot of the fracturing on the conservative right in America. The MAGA, a lot of people on the MAGA right, well, we'll talk about the MAGA right, are going completely anti-Israel, anti-Jew, anti-Zionist, and the examples are pretty legion, but it was an incredible time to be there. The first thing I did was I led a tour for 2 weeks, then I came home for about a week and a half, and then I went back for about 10 days. So it was a lot of flying to, Pam couldn't go, so I thought I wouldn't leave her at home alone for a month. What's going on in Israel is, you know, it's interesting, they're in the midst of a war. And I could share stories. In fact, I did a podcast with somebody and I talked about the first 2 days of my trip, and we went about 2.5 hours, as you can imagine that I would do. But let me just share a few stories. In the midst of this, and everybody thinks of Israel as kind of a monolithic place, one thing that's amazing about Israel is particularly in Jerusalem, but this is true in Ashdod and Ashkelon and Tel Aviv, along the Mediterranean, other cities. We went to Efrat, which is between Jerusalem and Hebron. It's a Jewish settlement area. They're building 7,000 new homes in Efrat. In Jerusalem, you go down Jaffa Street, one of the main roads, and it's a solid construction zone for 3 miles. The traffic in Jerusalem is as bad as anything I've ever seen. They're building tunnels, more light rail, all of this, but stuff is almost to the point of a standstill all the time in Jerusalem. I mean, you have a mile and a half from your hotel to the old city, where we were for the media summit, and it can take an hour, 25 minutes to get a mile. Wow. And I can walk a mile in that amount of time. And it's funny too, because we are walking around Jerusalem and all of the directions on Google Maps, walking directions, all the time they say mostly flat. There's not a flat spot anywhere in that city. And it seems like it's more up than down. But, you know, we walked down to the old Ottoman train station to get dinner the other night, and it's probably a 75-story building elevation change in less than a mile downhill. Of course, you have to walk back up, and so we took a cab after dinner. But it's incredible. The amount of construction is just absolutely shocking. And you look at through some of the barriers at these things that they're building, and the foundational holes are 5, 6, 7, 9 stories deep that they built. So they're building very big buildings in these places. And I don't know what the traffic's going to be like when that gets done. They say that the redoing things are going to take 5 years to get the light rail and tunnels and things that they want built.
Wow.
But so just a couple things. So one of the things we did on the media summit that I was there, we traveled to different places. We went to the Gaza envelope, went to some of the kibbutz that was attacked. We went to the Nova Festival. I did the same thing on my tour. We went to a different kibbutz. And at the one we went to on our tour, Far Aza, you can see there's just bullet holes and machine gun and RPG explode. You can see where people died.
Jeez.
So, for example, at Far Aza, there were 925 residents on October 7th. 68 were killed, 18 taken hostage. And when we were there, this is before we were there while Trump came. But in fact, both times he's been in Jerusalem, I've been there for some reason. But maybe he's stalking me. But the two of the hostages, the twin brothers, were still held hostage. Of course, they've since been released. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But the level of destruction that you see there, for example, at Nir Oz, another kibbutz that we went to, there's one sign there that kind of tells everything you need to know. It says Gush Katif. It's a road sign that somebody put on top of the building pointing towards Gaza. So when you're at the fence on the kibbutz, on the western fence, the Gaza border fence is about maybe a half a mile away, and then you can see the buildings beyond that, and every now and then you'll hear these massive explosions going off even after the ceasefire and everything, because there's still terrorists in tunnels. But this Gush Katif sign really says a lot, because in 2005 the Bush-Cheney administration, under the guise of, well, we're smarter than everybody else, we're going to force you to make peace with the Palestinians. And so we forced them to evacuate every Jew from Gaza. And it wasn't just every live Jew, it was every dead Jew. They dug up the bodies and brought them out of Gaza. Gaza became completely Jew-free. And so I asked, shortly after I saw that sign, I was talking to, I believe he was the first responder to get to the Nova Festival. And this is a battle-hardened guy, paratrooper, fought in the Lebanon wars. and that type of thing. And he was having a hard time describing what he saw when he got to that Nova Festival. 364 killed, hundreds more injured, bodies piled up everywhere. And so they have these memorials to each person there. And the families come there on Shabbat and actually have their Shabbat dinner at the memorial that's set up where their child died. It's kind of hard to describe, but I asked him about that Gush Katif sign, and he said, I suggested, well, maybe October 7th doesn't happen if Jews hadn't been evacuated from Gaza. And he said, no, it's not maybe. It would not have happened. But our government participated in that and forced them to leave Gaza. So it was interesting when on my tour, we went to Gaza and then we came back to Jerusalem. So this is the first thing that I'll talk about. We had dinner and then we said, we're going over to the City of David. This is an incredible archaeological site. Really, 25 years ago, nothing had been excavated. Now they've excavated, and we were able to walk most of the pilgrimage road. Most groups aren't able to do that yet. We also went to what they call Temple Zero. We know there was the first temple and the second temple, but they found an earlier temple in Jerusalem at the City of David in the place that it should be. So they call it was excavated starting in 2010 by Elish Kron. So this is very recent. And it's called Temple Zero because it's the Temple of Melchizedek, where Abram came to give an offering to Melchizedek. And there's no doubt about it. And it's a very unique structure. It's different than all the other pagan temples that they found in the Middle East. And I think Elisha Krohn's conclusion is correct. In fact, they've carbon dated organic material, you know, pots and that type of thing that they found that were used in sacrifices to about 1900 BC, which is the time of Abraham.
Wow.
And so this is a confirmation. So you're sitting there writing all this history. But in the City of David, one thing that they've excavated is this big wall. And it's the wall of Nehemiah. Nehemiah built this wall. And by the way, David, there is no doubt this is the wall of Nehemiah, excavated in the City of David. So we walked over to the City of David, and it's about 50 stories up, 50 stories down, up some more, and then down some more to get there. And I mean, it's only, I don't know, 0.6 mile. So it's a workout to get over there. And then you get to the City of David, and it's about 7 stories down to the seats that they have for this light show. And the light show is called Alleluia. But so here we are sitting in the City of David watching a laser light show, you know, with pyrotechnics and all this stuff. And the story is the story of Nehemiah projected on the wall of Nehemiah in the City of David.
Jeez.
And while we're there, the negotiations are going on about the release of the hostages, and we are there during Sukkot, the Feast of Booths. So everything is a madhouse. There are special Shabbats all the way through Sukkot. But so in Nehemiah 8, it talks about the fact that while they were doing the wall, they found the Book of the Law, and they brought the Book of the Law out that they had lost. They had not seen this for a long time. It had been discovered, just like today they're discovering the City of David, where Solomon's palace was, where David's palace was, the Temple of Melchizedek, the pilgrimage road from the Pool of Siloam to the Temple Mount that you can walk, or as soon as most everybody will be able to walk on. It's just about done. Probably next year it'll open. But in the context of the Feast of Booths, this light show about Nehemiah that we've just watched, there's a verse in Nehemiah 8, verse 17. And it says this: the entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity to Babylon, made booths and lived in the booths. In other words, it was Sukkot, and they were celebrating Sukkot after coming back from captivity. We're there when they're releasing hostages from captivity. And then it says this: the sons of Israel had indeed not done so, had not kept the Feast of Booths from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day. and there was exceedingly great gladness. And I guess I'm just trying to say that there's this pattern that happened at the time of Nehemiah, and then we were living the fulfillment of it, the modern fulfillment of it, while we were sitting there in the city of David. It was a very emotional, wow, very incredibly biblical. So, and then it says, and he read from the book of the law of God daily from the first day to the last day. And so, and they celebrated the feast, and there was this massive celebration going on in Israel in the midst of a war. They're at war with people. So there was one other, I've got two other quick stories. So we went up to the Lebanon border to Matula the day after we were there, right on the border. They're bombing all the new Hezbollah positions that are being reestablished up there. It was nice that they waited till we had finished our thing up there. Then we went over to the Golan border with Syria. And you can look over to the mountains, a place called Sweda, where the al-Julani regime, the al-Shara regime, the new regime in Syria, is persecuting Christians and Druze. And it was hard for me to watch this meeting with President Trump and al-Shara, this former al-Qaeda ISIS guy in the White House yesterday. This is very bad optics. I don't understand what's going on. And I, you know, as a lawyer, I try to think through all the possibilities. I cannot think of any possibility under which this was a good thing that happened yesterday. The optics were very bad. But they brought in to us to talk to us a lady from Majdal Shams. And about a year ago, there was a Hezbollah rocket that hit a soccer field in Majdal Shams and killed 12 children, one of whom was the 11-year-old daughter of the lady who talked to us.
Oh.
The father was there. He couldn't talk. It was it was one of the most moving, emotional things I've ever seen in my life, as she talked about her 11-year-old daughter, who spoke four languages, Druze, Hebrew, Turkish, and had taught herself a fourth language, German, because she wanted to go to law school in Germany. She was 11 years old. She was killed by that rocket. And then there was also with them another father. His son was on the soccer field, but was missing for a couple days. They could not figure out what happened. I don't know how to describe this other than it, they finally found pieces of his body. He was blown to bits by the Hezbollah rocket.
Jeez.
And so this is a real war in a real place going on.
Yeah.
And this is a story that was repeated over and over as we went around Israel. So the last Sunday I was there on the tour, I met my friend Roddy Harrell at Christ Church in the Old City. And we went on a walking tour. So we went down and he said, I want you to see what happened here. He showed me, there's a reproduction of the Madaba map. It's over in Madaba, a church in Madaba, or Jordan. It's a mosaic done around 300-400 AD. It's the oldest map of the Middle East. But one thing that's interesting is, and I think this relates to some of the other things we want to talk about, is that the map is of Jerusalem and the Holy Land, but something's missing. The Temple Mount. So even back in 300-400 AD, they were trying to erase the Jewish character of the Holy Land from the Holy Land. And it was the Christians who were doing it.
Wow.
So he took us over to the Hurva Synagogue. He took me over to the Hurva Synagogue, which is only reopened in the last year or two. And there's another big synagogue that was just rebuilt and reopened. They were completely destroyed in 1948 War of Independence by Jordan, who took over the old city of Jerusalem, occupied the old city of Jerusalem, and completely destroyed the Jewish quarter of the old city. So that's why when you go to the old city today, the Jewish quarter has a lot of new buildings in it. And there's a movie there about what happened in the 1948 war and about the surrender that took place. So Roddy took me down to the place where the surrender happened. And on the way down there, there's a memorial to a mass grave that used to be there. of 28 people, including a 10-year-old IDF soldier who was killed in the 1948 war, rabbi and his wife, were all buried there. Now they've since been, the bodies have been relocated, but there's a memorial there. And then there's a square. The square is in front of what they call the House of Rothschild. It was a house for the poor people that the Rothschild family had built there in the Jewish quarter. And it's still standing. And in the front of the square, there were people, old people, young people walking around, and there were kids playing soccer and that type of thing. It was an incredible sight. And then my friend Roddy said, look at that. And over on the wall, if you stand at the House of Rothschild and you look to the left, there's a wall. And on the wall is a Bible verse. And there were, everywhere we went, we saw IDF soldiers. They were down at Nova. They were there. They were at the Golan border or in Syria. They're getting educated about the history of Israel to motivate them for the very serious fight in which they're engaged. We saw some at Nova. They said, yeah, we came here today to remember and to get motivated because we're going into Gaza to fight tonight.
Wow.
And so this is, I mean, you know, it's just, and these are like young, they're young people. They're, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. Some of them are married, have young families. But then Roddy said, look at that. Look at those two Orthodox soldiers standing there by the Bible verse. And they were literally leaning against the wall weeping because of the verse and what was going on there. So there's a prophecy in Zechariah. And I'm not saying that this prophecy has been fulfilled yet, but these prophecies are kind of unfolding right in front of us. And so in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, it says this, and this is the verse that's on the wall in Hebrew, because I went and I took a picture of it in Google Translate it and translated it. This is what it says. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, old men and old woman will again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each man with his staff in his hand because of age. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in its streets.
Huh. Wow.
That was going on right in front of me. And so we're in the midst of this. And by the way, that's one of about 150 or more stories that I could tell you just from this trip. The trips to Israel are so faith reaffirming, but understand that they're in the midst of a propaganda war. I'll give you an example. So I had not been up to Nablus, where the biblical city of Shechem is. We went to Joshua's altar, the actual altar of Joshua on Mount Ebal, the Mount of Curses in Nablus, biblical Shechem, where Joseph's tomb is. The Mount of Blessing is Mount Gerizim. But to go to Joshua's altar, we went with a couple of Jewish groups to share the cost of a bus. We had to rent with bulletproof windows. And we had to go in there on a back road under IDF escort with soldiers and everything. And then as we were walking the mile or so from where we parked to Joshua's altar to talk about it, we had drones flying overhead. So they're in the midst of a war. But as I looked around Nablus, having been there about 8 years ago with Joel Kramer, the amount of building in these Arab villages in places like Nablus, and then when we went to Ephrat in Bethlehem, right across the valley, right on the other side of Solomon's Pools from Ephrat, there's all these new apartment buildings. Huh. And we went to Shabbat in Ephrat, we came out, and when you look back at the Ephrat, it's a condominium, a giant condominium buildings and complex. All the lights in the windows are on. You look across the valley at these brand new apartment buildings. And this was true in Nablus. It was true near Shiloh. It was true in Bethlehem. There is not a single light in any window in any of these new buildings at night. Huh. Why is that? It's a complete propaganda operation to make it look like there are more Arabs living there than there are. I saw this 8 years ago up near the biblical city of Ai, the archaeological site. big neighborhood like Beverly Hills, nobody lives there.
Wow.
These apartment buildings, nobody lives there. It's a propaganda op by the UN and UN-associated NGOs to make it look like there are more Palestinians, because they don't want Israel to think that, well, we can just make a one-state solution, because they say, well, there'll be more Arabs than Jews. It's a complete falsehood. So, and now we have all these people talking about it. We have Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, we have the people on the right. Even Bannon's war room has gone completely anti-Israel. They'll say they're not, but they are. They're lying if they say they're not. And I saw a video on a YouTube channel from a guy named Steve, the tour guide. I'm going to try to interview him here in the next couple of weeks. It's an excellent interview about what's going on. Where is this coming from? And so Steve he's pretty well educated. And he said, this is a revival of pre-Vatican II Catholicism, which is very anti-Israel, because what pre-Vatican II Catholicism was that the Jews collectively are guilty for all time for killing Christ, not just the people who orchestrated it at the time, like the New Testament teaches, but it's and so this, we're in the midst of that. So Diana West and Lee Smith at Tablet have new articles out about how this is going, and this is what Pat Buchanan talked about. Yeah. And everybody poo-pooed him back in the 80s, like, oh, Pat, you're an anti-Semite, you're a Jew hater. One of the people who did that, I have the video of him. It's what you can find it on C-SPAN. A guy criticizing Pat Buchanan's Jew hatred for being against the Zionist aspect of Israel, reestablishing Israel in the land. That video is from a guy named Tucker Carlson.
Jeez.
So wow. What's happened is there's this revival of this pre-Vatican II Catholicism that is extremely anti-Jew and anti-Israel.
So, John, we're out of time, but I wanted to send people to tabletmag.com. Jeff, if you could just bring up the page of that article so people can go look that up. Very interesting. One of the quotes in there, Trump didn't inherit Buchanan's legacy. He is a repudiation of it. And it's very interesting, some things that I wasn't aware of about Buchanan and, well, you know, anti-Semitism, it's not new, and we shouldn't be surprised, but the growth of it in America is concerning. John Haller, next time we're going to have to do two episodes, brother, but thanks for your time. We'll see you on a round table, or we'll keep in touch. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, David.
God bless you, friends, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.